Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that is approximately 1:36 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th, 2024. Present at the committee table are Representative Cologne, Representative Ortiz, Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, myself, co-chair Edgman. Before we start, the usual ask about muting your cell phones, if you would, please. Today, we'll be hearing public testimony on the capital budgets for both the House and the Senate, House Bill 269 and Senate Bill 187. Testimony will be limited, the script says here, to 2 minutes, but I'm thinking that we may not have the number of testifiers that we might have during an operating budget hearing, for example, and that might extend that to 3 minutes. Some callers perhaps not utilizing all 3 minutes. We'd also ask for those online or in the room to please sign in or call by 2:30 p.m. That's just a little less than an hour away. And we'd also ask off-net callers to please hang up. Please hang up after testifying to keep the phone lines open. Call-in numbers from around the state, or if you're in Juneau, you would dial 907-586-9085. If you're in Anchorage, 907-563-9085. Everywhere else statewide, you would dial 844-586-9085. And I will endeavor to repeat those numbers as we go through the process today. Written testimony can also be sent to House Finance, all one word, House Finance at akleg.gov. And I'd also like to recognize Co-Chair Foster, who just joined us. So with that, let's begin the process of taking public testimony. Brief at ease. On the record, I appreciate your indulgence and thank you, Representative Foster, for walking me through the process here. I'd like to start in the room, if we could, please, with Jason Custer. If you could state your affiliation and begin your testimony when you get situated there. 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jason Custer, and I chair the Energy Committee for Southeast Conference, which is Southeast Alaska's regional economic development organization. I'm also vice president with Alaska Power and Telephone Company, which is just what the name suggests. We do power and telephone in 40 communities in rural Alaska. Our company actually predates statehood, and we're proudly headquartered in Ketchikan, Alaska, as of this year. We're selling the building we used to have out of state and doubling down on Alaska. I'm here today to encourage you all to please fully fund the Alaska Energy Authority's Renewable Energy Fund program projects at a cost of $32 million. The projects on the list are spread all across the state of Alaska. Now, when you think of increasing your household income, there are two ways that you can do it. You can tighten up your belts and switch your family's diet over to pilot bread and Spam, or you can grow through wise investments in things that produce a return and expand the resources you have available. Now, I happen to like Spam, but I know that it doesn't get you very far, and secondly, it's a lot more fun to grow by expanding your resources and your income. The Renewable Energy Fund program is one of the state's best ways to do exactly that. But the current budget for the projects doesn't provide the REF with enough resources to work its magic. No matter what budget you're trying to balance, a business, your family's budget, or a school's, or even a government agency, energy costs are a huge part, and we need affordable options for the future. The REF fast-tracks new energy projects across our state. It's highly cost-effective, and it attracts and leverages third-party matching funds in a way that other uses of public money don't do. It also helps make the utility planning process more transparent and inclusive of the public. When public money goes into a utility project through a grant program, the public has a greater voice and a greater role to play. The Renewable Energy Fund provides an incredible bang for the buck, but the projects need more bucks. Otherwise, our state will be banging its head on high energy prices well into the future. Last year, you all put about $15 million into the projects in the program, and this year it's looking like a meager $4 million. So please be aware, this is your best tool for state investment in new energy projects, and it's well recognized and appreciated. Your constituents are all watching energy prices rise, and they're watching your economic leadership on this matter. So please fully fund the Renewable Energy Fund projects to the level of $32 million.
Thank you, Mr. Custer. Not seeing any comments. I guess we do have maybe a question or two, Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Chair Edgman. Mr. Custer, do you happen to know, in that I know the Renewable Energy Fund has a list of projects, and if we had $32 million in there versus four, how many more projects we would be able to fund, or what those projects were, if you had any examples of those?
Well, right now there's like just two projects getting funded at $4 million, which is kind of like a twin earmark or something. But the whole list has like 20-some projects. Now, just two of those are from Southeast Alaska, but still, Southeast Conference is supporting all of the projects because this is something that helps us all out. And through the years, like, this has been the best tool for clean energy investment in the state. It's well proven, and it's leveraged a lot of other investment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the chair. Mr. Custer, your last statement there, you said it's leveraged a lot of other investment. If we put in higher amounts of money into the Renewable Energy Fund than the current $4 million, does that mean we qualify for more federal match, or is the Renewable Energy Fund not related to federal dollars in any way?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can put the capital stack together, and it depends on the project. But when you apply to this program, the AEA wants you to show them, like, well, are you putting any of your money in? Like, our company has a request for $100,000, which is small potatoes, like, in the, you know, to the size of our company. But, you know, we show, like, okay, this is what's coming from us. If there's, like, a federal project that is being used as match, it shows that. And it's different for every project. But one of the good things, like, thinking of leverage, is that this program a lot of times pays for, like, the front-end planning and stuff like that. That can be harder to fund. And it's great to be able to use public money to fund that type of planning, because then the public is more involved in the planning process. And, you know, a lot of projects that wouldn't have come to fruition otherwise did, because the REF was willing to step up and take, you know, the lead role in financing some of the planning. And then after you have a good plan, it's easy to put the rest of the package together, or at least easier.
Thank you.
And I think that's an accurate representation. Many years ago, I sat on what's called the REFACT Committee, Renewable Energy Funding Advisory Committee, I think it's called, as one of four legislators. And the application process, which is very detailed, had to include other sources of possible funding and so forth. So I would say that it would do as you suggested. So thank you, Mr. Custer. Really appreciate it. I'd like, for the record, to know that Representative Staff has arrived, and Representative Kronk, I apologize. You were at a committee hearing. I was supposed to announce that you were going to be just a little bit late, and I failed to do that. So thank you for coming forward. Next on our list is Robert Venables. Robert, you are no stranger to the process, so if you would come forward and offer your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the House Finance. My name is Robert Venables. I'm the Executive Director for Southeast Conference, And I would just briefly echo the remarks you just heard. As a member of the governor's Energy Security Task Force this past year, taking a statewide approach towards these seemingly individual projects as part of the strategy of providing energy security to the state of Alaska. So I would echo the urgency for fully supporting those well-vetted projects that AEA put out. I'm here actually to advocate support for a different statewide project that's not the Marine Highway System, although you know how passionate I am about that. But the Village Corporation, Sean Seat in Craig, Alaska, has put forward a project that's in the CAPSA system that's a very unique model for what we see happening for possibilities for mariculture across the state. Southeast Conference is involved in that space, administering a statewide grant to promote that. This project in Craig is a cooperative venture that brings down the cost of operations, and it uniquely has the support of the tribal corporation, the tribe itself, the city, and we were very pleased to be signatories to the Memorandum of Agreement. It has a very unique project development path where the federal government came in and provided some pre-construction funds. The state of Alaska was going to try to provide some of the construction funds. The governor had this project listed in the GEO bond 2 years ago. That did not move forward. And so the corporation, Sean Seat, is looking to the legislature to put some funds in that we think will open the door for other federal funds. So these will be leveraged by the federal government if we can get that supported. And so I just want to put a quick plug in for that and have to answer any questions. But again, we see this as a statewide model to support rural communities moving together to advance mariculture industry in their regions. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. I don't see any hands raised or any mics put forward. So thank you, Robert, for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Next, we have in the room Millie Ryan. If you might come forward, please put yourself on the record and state your affiliation.
Co-Chair Edmund and members of the committee, my name is Millie Ryan. I live here in Juneau. I am president of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, which is a nonprofit organization that brings together public, private, and community transit providers and advocates. Our mission is to develop and increase public transit and community transportation so that Alaskans who don't drive can get to work, to medical appointments, to church, to grocery shop, volunteer, and participate in local community life. And I think these are important to remember that these are things that we who drive take for granted. On behalf of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, I recommend that $1 million be added to the capital budget for a non-federal transit match program at the State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. This allows the state to maximize federal dollars, build local infrastructure, and provide non-federal match funding for a project such as a senior center, being able to secure an accessible van to help seniors and people with disabilities be a part of their community. I'd also like to add that the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education and the Statewide Independent Living Council support this request. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you for coming forward. Any comments or questions from committee members? I don't see any, but really appreciate you coming forward, Millie. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room who wishes to testify? Not seeing anyone. We will now move to the Wrangell LAO. Mason Villarma, are you on? And if you are, could you put your name on the record and state your affiliation? And you have 3 minutes to give your testimony.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Edgman, Foster, and Johnson, and members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Mason Villarma, borough manager for the city and borough of Wrangell. I'm here today to offer a brief testimony regarding aggregate spending for school major maintenance funding appropriated to the Department of Education Early Childhood Development and Senate Bill 187. As you are aware, the Senate passed over the capital budget with $36,190,793 in funding for school major maintenance. I believe this to be a step in the right direction. However, I would implore the House to direct additional discretionary funds available to covering more projects in the school major maintenance list. Municipalities such as the city and borough of Wrangell are struggling to make their local contributions to public school districts while also trying to take care and preserve the integrity of their school buildings and other failing infrastructure. our community, like others on the major maintenance list, has leaking roofs, rotten siding, and other facilities to replace. We're not asking for frivolous spending, but the core critical needs to protect the shells of our buildings from further degradation. Deferring maintenance will only result in greater costs to be incurred down the road due to higher inflation and further decay of infrastructure. I ask for the House's support in further addressing the backlog of school major maintenance by raising the aggregate spending amount allocated to DEED within Senate Bill 187. Thank you for all your hard work this legislative cycle, and I kindly ask for your support.
Thank you for your testimony. Not seeing any questions from committee members. Next, we have Jeanette Bowers, Soldatna. Jeanette, if you could put yourself on the record, please, and give your testimony.
My name is Jeanette Bauer.
Yes.
I believe I just became unmuted. Let me start again here. Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Jeanette Bauer. I am the Soldatna City Manager. The City of Soldatna has been very intentional about including projects of regional significance in our capital priorities. One of those priorities is the Soldatna Regional Sports Complex Conference Room Expansion Design Project. The sports complex, first constructed in the early 1980s, was designed for multi-purpose use, with its primary use as an ice arena and conference center. The conference rooms at the Soldatna Regional Sports Complex see heavy use from local and regional organizations for meetings, luncheons, classes, and community events. While the facility is frequently utilized, it is not ideal to meet community needs and lacks amenities that would be attractive to statewide or regional events seeking a location to host events. The facility is overdue for an upgrade and would benefit from improvements such as a pre-function area, the addition of breakout rooms, an expanded and redesigned kitchen area, and a separation of common areas such as hallways and restrooms for conflicting uses, our hockey events and conferencing. Phase one of this project will fund design for the expansion and improvement of the conference room. The estimated cost for the design phase is $690,000. Thank you for your support for this project.
Thank you for your testimony. Not seeing any questions around the committee table. Next, we have Colleen Dushkin. Colleen, if you could put yourself on the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Chairs Edgman and Foster, Johnson, and members of the Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Colleen Dushkin, and I serve as the Executive Director for the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities. AHA, as it's known, is a membership organization, and our members are the 14 regional housing authorities that provide affordable housing development and services for 196 tribes across the state. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'd like to talk about the HFC programs that our members access to address housing in the communities they serve, specifically the HFC programs that are included in the capital budget, the Supplemental Housing Development Grant Program, Senior Housing Development Grant Program, and the Weatherization Program. AHA has submitted written comments about these programs, and we urge you to support the funding levels that are in SB 187, specifically $4 million for the Supplemental Housing Development Program, $3 million for the Senior Housing Development Program, and $7 million for the Weatherization Program. Although the members have utilized these programs in larger amounts in prior years, we appreciate the amounts that are in SB 187 and hope you can support the appropriations at a minimum. These programs are often foundational for the regional housing authorities to develop large, complex capital stacks. One example is the Supplemental Housing Development Program. This provides no more than 20% of the total development cost of a project and is often highly leveraged with an 8-to-1 return on the state's investment. The Weatherization Program is instrumental in preserving the aging stock in our communities that are very substandard. All of these programs have a huge impact on our community. We would appreciate your support to help increase the supply of safe, sanitary, and affordable housing for our families. Thank you for the time today, and I welcome any questions the committee has.
Thank you very much, Colleen. Looks like we do have a question. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, through the chair, Ms. Dishkin. The numbers, are, again, were $4 million for the supplemental part, and then you said $3 million for weatherization?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, $4 million for the Supplemental Housing Development Program, And that's the, it provides no more than 20% of the total development cost. $3 million was for the senior housing development, which of course takes care of our aging population, and $7 million of the state funding for weatherization.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Seeing any additional questions, thank you again for your testimony. Next, we move to Mary. I'm probably going to say your last name wrong here, but Medavea. If you could put your name in the record, please, and begin your testimony. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, dear co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Mariam Medavaya, and I'm representing Alaska Trails, a statewide nonprofit with a mission to build and maintain trails for Alaska's communities and economy. I'm calling today in support of the Alaska Lone Trail Project in the state capital budget under Bill SB 187 and HB 269. The Alaska Lone Trail will provide new recreation opportunities between Seward and Fairbanks, but it is more than just an outdoor recreation project. It is primarily an economic development project that will result in more business opportunities, revenue, and workforce retention in the state. I would like to thank the legislature and the House Finance Committee for including more than $5.6 million for the Alaska Lone Trail project over the past 2 years, in fiscal years 2023 and 2024. Your support is greatly appreciated. For this year's capital budget, I want to thank the Senate for including over $3 million for key outdoor recreation projects in the Chugach State Park, Anchorage, and Chugach Eagle River areas. These projects are part of the Alaska Lone Trail system, but they have their own individual merits in the communities that they serve. Alaska Trails and our coalition of partners also expressed support for additional trails-related funds in the current budget, including winter trail marking and winter trail grooming projects in the Anchorage Urban Trail System, matching funds for federal recreation grants, and deferred maintenance of statewide park sanitation facilities. I want to thank the House Finance Committee for your work on the state capital budget and for giving outdoor recreation the attention and hopefully funding that it deserves. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I'm not seeing any questions at the committee table here. Next, we have Chris Mello. Can you please put your name on the record and state your affiliation and begin your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Chris Mello, and I'm a board member of the Blood Bank of Alaska. And I'm here with Bob Scanlon and Sean Case. And with your permission, sir, I would like Bob Scanlon, who's the CEO of the Blood Bank of Alaska, to speak before me. Would that be all right?
Yes, that would be fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, co-chair, members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify before you today. My name is Bob Scanlon. I'm Chief Executive Officer of the Blood Bank of Alaska, a 501c3 nonprofit, which has been serving the state of Alaska in its entirety for the last 62 years. I appear today telephonically to thank you for including $2 million in the capital budget for the Blood Bank of Alaska during the 2022 season or session, and respectfully request your consideration and support for the full funding in the amount of $2 million additional dollars to complete our project. Funding would be leveraged by the Blood Bank of Alaska to end a serious vulnerability to the Alaska blood supply by making Blood Bank of Alaska wholly self-sufficient in the area of donor testing services through the establishment of a donor testing laboratory. The full appropriation of $2 million is necessary to make this effort a reality, providing Alaska with donor testing infrastructure forever. Donor testing, which is currently being done for Blood Bank of Alaska out of state in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is currently a substantial bottleneck and ongoing vulnerability to the blood supply operations and availability in the event of a medical trauma and or declared state or national emergency. Since 2008, Blood Bank of Alaska has worked towards the establishment of donor testing in Alaska, which would assure self-sufficiency, alleviating the threat of disruption to operations of the blood bank due to such things as airspace closure caused by volcanic or seismic activity, airline disruptions, and or state or national emergency. Additional threats include such things as civil unrest in the lower 48, weather issues, and airspace issues outside of Alaska. By Blood Bank of Alaska becoming self-sufficient, Alaska is assured of predictability, consistency, versatility, and shorter response times in the event of disaster as regards the state blood supply, but also for routine daily use, not only for our major population centers, but to an even larger extent, Alaska's rural communities and healthcare providers. To close, we are requesting the $2 million to be included in the capital budget for the Blood Bank of Alaska to complete necessary and critical infrastructure in Alaska. I thank the committee for taking my testimony.
We do have a question. We also have two others online to testify about the blood bank, but I was just informed, and we'll go to the question in just a second, but I was just informed that I kind of went out of order a little bit. What I'd like to do is to take the question at the table here and then revert to the bottom of the list. We have two testifiers, one from the MATSU and one from the Homer LIOs, and then get those completed and come back up to, I think we would be at Chris Mello at that point. But the question at the table, Representative Galvin.
Yeah, thank you. And perhaps the other testifiers on Blood Bank will cover this, but I just wanted to check in with Mr. Scanlon. Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate how broadly the Blood Bank is supplying for Alaska at large, including rural areas. I was curious to know if you're also working with the base, the bases, the military bases, if there are emergencies there as well.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for asking that question. We do serve all of our military facilities within the state, as well as all the Native organizations as well. We serve virtually the entire state.
Very good. So what we're going to do now is to go to the MATSU LIO, and we have one person listed at this point, Rob Urbach. If you could put your name on the record, please, and list your affiliation, and begin your 3 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, co-chairs, and members of the committee. This is Rob Urbach, the CEO of the Iditarod. Thank you for the opportunity to provide clarity as to the Iditarod's importance to the entire state of Alaska. Iditarod means so much to many, as it fully embodies our grit, our culture, our traditions, warming the heart and igniting the spirit. Moreover, it's a key bucket list driver for tourism, generating an estimated $73 million in economic impact, enabling over 30 Iditarod-inspired tourism operations and an ecosystem of 20-plus other events that serve as Iditarod qualifiers. And while the Iditarod does embody the indomitable spirit of Alaska, sustaining this Alaskan icon has become exceedingly difficult, primarily due to eco-terrorist extremists that spread highly inaccurate and grossly inflammatory information in efforts to dictate their way of life and eradicate our culture. I imagine many of you could fully relate to the angry activist zealously committed to a cause built on false pretenses and not taking responsibility for any of the harm they do to Alaskans. In our case, these attacks have resulted in a crippling loss of sponsorship. As a result, the $73 million in positive economic impact for the state, the thousands of students that are inspired each year through our educational programs, and the economic and goodwill boost to the 24 Iditarod Trail communities, as well as the joy, pride, and meaning that comes every year by the coming of spring, is in jeopardy. This is an issue that is important to all of Alaskans statewide. Accordingly, we humbly request that the House add $670,000 to the capital budget already submitted by the Senate. This will enable the Iditarod to get caught up from the challenges of the past few years and stabilize the organization to allow for two long-term significant revenue-producing initiatives to be realized. Thus, in effect, this one-time support from the state will future-proof the Iditarod by providing a bridge to sustainability. On behalf of all Alaskans, we very much appreciate your consideration, your conscientiousness, and your hard work. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any comments or questions around the table? And I don't see any. I think many of us got to speak with you when you were in Juneau recently. So, again, appreciate you calling in this afternoon. Next, we have Bruce Friend at the Homer LIO. Bruce, if you could put your name on the record, please, and affiliation to begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Bruce Friend. I'm speaking on my own behalf and in support of several items on SB 187. I've been a resident of Alaska for more than 50 years. I've lived in Homer for the past 8 years. I currently serve on the Homer Port and Harbor Commission, and I fully support the need for matching funds from the state for the Corps of Engineers feasibility study that we're undergoing at this point. I also serve on the board of directors for the Homer Marine Trades Association. We represent over 100 local marine trade businesses. I want to voice my strong support for the Homer Harbor Navigational Improvement General Investigation. It's a much needed item, much needed for the community and the growth of our businesses here in Homer as part of the marine trades. I also support increased funding that's being considered for school maintenance. This is very important to our local economy here, to our local Homer High School, which would receive a portion of that for some roof replacement work. And the last item I'd like to speak in support of is for the $250,000 to fund the replacement of the roof on the Pratt Museum. It's a very important part of our culture here in Homer and very important to our tourism business. I really appreciate your hearing and considering my testimony and all the work that you do in Juneau and support Alaska as a whole. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Friend. I don't see any comments or questions from committee members here, but again, thank you for calling in. So moving back up the list to where we were just a few moments ago, back to testimony from a couple of board members of the Blood Bank. Chris Mello, are you still online?
I am, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Chris Mello, and I'm a board member of the Blood Bank of Alaska. One of the things I wanted to mention was there's the fragility of donor testing. There's only about a half a dozen labs nationwide that test blood. And in order to meet their revenue goals, they have to operate at or near 100% capacity. If any one of these labs go down, all of the blood centers in the country are going to be scrambling to find a lab that can test their blood. We're a very small market and we're very remote, about 30,000 units a year. But the large blood centers may be over 200,000 or 300,000 units in a year. We're not going to go to the front of the line. We're going to get bumped out. So if we have our own donor testing lab, we're not going to be at risk for being knocked out if anyone, not just the lab that we use, but any of the labs across the country go down for any reason. So we avoid the fragility of the donor testing process if we have our own lab. The other thing I wanted to mention was I've been in Barrow for 19 years now with Kiavik. While I was living there, we had what was called the walking blood banks, and it was like that in bush communities, in hub communities throughout Bush, Alaska, and that is when someone needed blood. Indian Health Service would get on the phone and call all the folks in town that were O negative or had a blood type that matched the patient, and they were directly transfused, and that blood was always untested, but they didn't have any choice because if they didn't use that blood, then the patient would die. Now, modernly, because of the Blood Bank of Alaska, we're able to provide those hub hospitals with tested blood. If we don't get our donor testing lab at some point, that system's going to go down. We do not want to see Bush, Alaska go back to the days of walking blood banks. So this having our own donor testing lab ensures us the ability to be able to continue to provide those hub hospitals throughout Bush, Alaska with tested blood. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Moving on next, see any questions here at the committee table. To Sean Case, if you could put yourself on the record, please.
Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Sean Case. I'm the Deputy Chief of Police, the Anchorage Police Department, and a board member of the Blood Bank of Alaska. First responders and the Blood Bank share a common goal of providing services to all Alaskans, no matter the circumstances. I've seen extreme cases of Alaskans needing blood for their survival. As Alaskans, we all embrace the human value of life, and we rise to the challenge of helping one another. We see this daily at the blood bank from our donors around the state. Currently, there is a fragility of testing services in Alaska. As you know, we send our blood to Minnesota to be tested before it is distributed to hospitals around the state. Weather and natural disasters impact our ability to test blood, which increases risk to Alaskans. If there is one thing we hate as Alaskans, it is to rely on outside resources, and we currently do just that when we have to send our blood out of Alaska to be tested. Donor testing in Alaska serves as an insurance policy for drugs or for blood on the shelves. As first responders, mass casualty events cause me concern because we may not be able to respond to an increased demand for blood as we await outside testing. I ask that you appropriate $2 million for the Blood Bank of Alaska donor testing infrastructure so Alaskans will always receive blood donated in Alaska, and we can become self-sufficient when supplying services to Alaskans in need. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. I should take a pause and just for the record, thank Representative Johnson for joining us, Co-Chair Johnson, about a half an hour ago or so, and also welcome Representative Armstrong, introduce special guests who were introduced on the House floor today. Very much appreciate you being here this afternoon. I'd like to, before we go to our next testifier, just to remind everyone that we have a call-in sign-up deadline by 2:30, and I will here momentarily repeat the phone numbers if you do wish to call in. And Juneau, it's 907-586-9085. And if you're in Anchorage, 907-563-9085. And if you're elsewhere around the state, dial 844-586-9085. So next, we go to Kimberly Hankins. Kimberly, if you could put your name on the record and list your affiliation, please, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Kimberly Hankins, and I'm the superintendent of the Lower Kuskokwim School District, or LKSD, headquartered in Bethel. I'm calling today in support of the funding in the capital budget for school district major maintenance and for the REAA fund. LKSD has numerous deferred maintenance projects on the CIP list to the tune of approximately $14 million. As I understand, the current backlog of deferred maintenance projects across the state totals more than $300 million. Some of LKSD's projects have been on the CIP list for nearly a decade. One project on the list that desperately needs funding is the Aukuk Memorial School renovation project, currently project number 56. There are structural concerns with the school, and we experienced a partial roof failure in the school gym 2 years ago. As a result, a portion of the gym in Aukuk has been closed since that time. This impacts our students' use of the gym, as well as the community's use of the gym as a central gathering place. District-wide, we have numerous major maintenance and school construction needs that aren't being funded, which is directly impacting our students' ability to learn. In New Napachuk, for example, we had to close or partially close several classrooms and school spaces last fall due to structural issues with school support beams. These structural issues were discovered last summer after a total ramp collapse at the school. The New Napachuk project has been on the list for 10 years. In speaking with other superintendents across the state, I know that LKSD is not the only district struggling to keep schools open despite significant maintenance issues and needs. Major maintenance and school construction investment is imperative for the future of our students. Every student in Alaska deserves a safe space in which to learn. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hankins. We do have a question here at the table. Representative Gellin.
Thank you, Superintendent Hankins. I do have a question. I'm not sure if I heard the name of the community properly. I think it might have been Nunavichuk. Nunavichuk. Thank you, Representative or Co-Chair. My question is, my understanding is that because of structural issues, the students are not able to learn. What did you do when there was a? It sounds like maybe a roof collapse. where some support beams fell in. What? How did the students gather when that happened then?
So following the ramp collapse, we had a structural engineer come out to the community and make an assessment of the foundation of the school. As a result of that assessment, we had to close and or partially close sections of the school, including some classrooms. So that resulted in us moving students and overcrowding them into other areas of the school. So we are utilizing the school spaces that were deemed safe, but have closed those where there were concerns about the structure and the foundation of the school under those spaces.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Superintendent, just to be clear, do you have the items in the budget you seek, or are you looking to protect those on the House side, or is there something that was omitted?
I am asking that what's in the budget gets funded, and I'm always asking for more money, additional funds to be put in to support deferred maintenance and school construction needs across the state.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
So thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So just to be clear, you're asking us to fund the school major maintenance list at a higher level than what's before us right now, which the governor's budget only funds, I think, the first two projects on that major maintenance list. Is that what you're referring to?
I'm asking for you to fund what's currently in SB 187. And then just to be mindful of the needs across the state and speaking to my colleagues, I know that LKSD is not the only district with significant deferred maintenance issues that are directly impacting students' abilities to learn.
Thank you.
For the record, Representative Ortiz, the Senate did add nearly $30 million to that list. I think it was $36 million to the list. I think Superintendent Hankins referenced. Thank you. And next, moving down the list of testifiers that we have here, we have Patricia Phillips and Pelican. If you could put your name on the record, please, and list your affiliation.
Thank you, Chairman Edgman, Foster, and Johnson. My name is Patricia Phillips, Mayor for the City of Pelican. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear.
Pelican's livelihood and fisheries economy is linked to clean, fresh water, a deep water port, and reliable hydroelectric power. I'm testifying to request funding for the City of Pelican's project listed on the Alaska Energy Authority's Renewable Energy Grant Fund, Round 16 list, in the amount of $700,474. The funding request is linked to the city's relicensing of its Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, Pelican Hydroelectric Project, FERC number P-10198-AK. The current license is near the end of its 40-year license. The application requests funding for stamped engineering drawings and exhibits for the relicensing application, a fish habitat restoration plan required by NOAA, equipment and materials to stabilize hydroelectric infrastructure at Pelican Creek Dam and Powerhouse. This project will ensure sustainable clean energy and low-cost hydroelectric power for my community. Thank you for this opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mayor. We do have a question here at the table. Representative Gilman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Phillips. My question is, I believe that your project was on a list that had a total of 16 projects, and were you number 5 or 6, I'm sorry, I can't remember that, where you were on that list with Pelican. Number 6 is what I'm hearing. Okay. And the governor has, we have, I think, put in funding for 2 so far. Is that correct? I think that's...
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, the governor had submitted $5 million. The Senate reduced it to 4.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. That brings us to Nils Andreessen from AML. Nils, can you put yourself on the record, please, and begin your testimony? We may not have Mr. Andreessen online, and we can always come back to him.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry about that. For the record, this is Nils Andreasen. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League. On behalf of AML, I want to thank you for your continued support for local government priorities, which result in benefits to communities across the state. Many cities and boroughs depend on the capital budget to both augment local capacity and help meet the needs, the infrastructure needs of residents. Capital budget results in greater economic activity in communities, which is broadly beneficial. AML wants to highlight some elements of the budget that are particularly relevant. AML has a resolution expressing support for investments in energy efficiency and renewable energy, including through the Renewable Energy Fund, which could benefit from increased funding. State appropriations that support local and agency match for federal awards will be critical to leveraging federal investments, including, for example, the funding in the capital budget to support the Denali Commission. It's exciting to see the Alaska Broadband Office gearing up to deploy BEAD investments, more than $1 billion. AML has a role in administering Digital Equity Coalition in Alaska. Any state support for housing is incredibly important as communities continue to report this as a barrier to workforce recruitment and retention. And I would flag and appreciate the funds that are currently in the budget for AHFC and Housing Alaskans and others. AML members have emphasized school construction and major maintenance funding, adopting resolutions that place the priorities on these grants, including to encourage additional funds for these programs. Capital funding for water and sewer projects is a hallmark of the federal infrastructure law, and it's great to see DEC allocations that continue that implementation. We're glad, too, that DEC has relaxed its best practice criteria for unserved communities. The Code Blue program remains important for local public safety departments, and it's great to see that in the budget. Microgrants for food security clearly addresses a priority identified by the Food Security Task Force. This might be a consideration for when bills like SB 161 move forward and exemptions like that are expanded with state support. Having worked so closely with Alaska DOT on transportation projects and seeing the STIF approval, we're glad to see so many federally funded transportation projects that will benefit communities. AML has been at the forefront of supporting communities and other stakeholders with grant applications and project development, having applied for nearly $4 billion in projects these last 2 years. This year, we're hearing more and more the need to support grant management and reporting compliance, recognize that Alaska must be successful on that front as well. We're looking forward to providing technical assistance to those who need it, which maximizes the benefits to Alaska from federal infrastructure investment. Finally, we're glad to see funding of the Harbor Matching Grant Program, which is a member resolution in support of something that's been so effective. While we don't comment on individual projects in the budget, we want to reinforce just how important this capital budget is for local governments and Alaska communities. We realize there's no shortage of needs, which simply can't be matched by state resources. Plenty of items not currently in this budget, but all these programs, and to the extent that there's more funding for any of them, result in economic growth, public safety, lower costs, and improved quality of life. Thank you for your attention to and investment in projects that matter to so many Alaskans.
Perfect timing on the dot, 3 minutes. Nils, Mr. Andreasen, I promise to get your name right in the future. I appreciate your testimony today, and I don't see any questions around the table. We will move on then to Michelle Baker. If you could please put yourself on the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the House Finance Committee. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
For the record, my name is Michelle Baker, and I serve as the Executive Vice President of South Center Foundation's Behavioral Services Division. South Center Foundation is a tribal health organization serving over 70,000 Alaskans in Anchorage, the Matsu Valley, and in dozens of rural communities throughout Alaska. SCF also co-manages the Alaska Native Medical Center with our partner, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. I am testifying today in support of South Central Foundation's request for capital budget funding to build a crisis stabilization and crisis residential center here in Anchorage. These crisis facilities will build upon the work of the legislature and governor in passing House Bill 172 in 2022. That legislation created the framework for these facilities, and now South Central Foundation is looking to stand up these programs to meet the behavioral health care needs of Alaskans. Our plan is for the Crisis Residential Center to become a designated evaluation and stabilization facility. This is a type of program for patients who need to be evaluated to determine if they meet criteria for involuntary treatment. And these evaluation facilities are in short supply across Alaska. SDF intends to receive referrals from other providers from throughout the state whose patients meet this level of care. Additionally, South Central Foundation's crisis programs will save the state money due to the 100% federal match for tribal Medicaid enrollees. If a tribal enrollee begins their episode of care at a tribal facility, then this care is paid for solely by federal Medicaid dollars. However, if that individual receives care at a non-tribal facility, the federal match could be as low as 50%. I strongly encourage you to support South Central Foundation's capital request for this privately operated facility. Any state investment of capital funds will be recouped within a matter of years due to the federal matching rate. Thank you for your time and your consideration of my comments, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Ms. Baker, for your testimony. Not seeing any questions around the table. Appreciate you calling in today. That brings us to Bob Syverson. If you could put your name on the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Yes, this is Bob Syverson. I'm from the community of Ketchikan. I'm the board chair for the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. And to the co-chairs and the committee members, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'd like to advocate for additional funding for the Renewable Energy Fund. There are 24 projects listed and achievable with full funding of $32 million. The $4 million that is proposed is appreciated, but it's not enough to cover the many listed energy projects. You may only fund two. The proposed projects reflect the priority that the state has placed on affordable power for Alaskans. CEPA has a regional grid resiliency hydro project that is 16th on the list with an ask of $4 million. If there is not additional funding, our grant request, along with many others, will not move forward to present proposed allocation this round. Energy is key to the growth and sustainability of Alaska. More hydro in Southeast Alaska serving multiple communities just makes sense. Grid resiliency realized in a timely manner benefits all. If there's not an opportunity for funding in the Renewable Energy Grant Program, I would ask for consideration, as allowed, to make a direct appropriation for this project that is on the list of the renewable energy projects with AEA by using general funds or other options of moving this project forward. Thank you for serving the citizens of Alaska and the work you do here today. So thank you.
Thank you. We do have, I think, a question or comment at the table. Apparently we do not. We really appreciate your testimony this afternoon. We move on next to Caroline Venuti. If you could put yourself on the record, please.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to call you today. First of all, I want to say to the members of the House Finance Committee, thank you for being there and listening to all of our concerns. I am very proud of our state of Alaska. I am a lifelong Alaskan, a 40-year educator, and I have the pleasure of serving on the Homer City Council. I am calling today to support three things. I want to support the funding for the Homer Harbor Navigational Improvement General Investigation. The city has appropriated the matching funds of $288,423. And this is an important investigation as it will help us reduce damages to our floats and docks. It will increase the moorage facilities for the large vessels that come into our boat harbor and also reduce the vessel damages due to collision and congestion in our small boat harbor. And if you've been here ever in the summer, or sometimes there are three boats tied in a row and that, they bump each other, this can be very dangerous. Also, I want to support the increased funding for the school maintenance funding, of which $2 million will partially replace the Homer High School roof. And it is over the libraries that this needs to be done. And I cannot imagine the damage that the garbage, they have garbage cans that they put on with plastic bags in them to keep the water, and they've moved books, and they have stains on the carpet. This is a beautiful high school, that has a lot of students, and a library is where many people meet. And so it doesn't look good when you come in the door and there's four or five garbage cans with water leaking into them in this beautiful school that exists in Houma. The last three, I want to thank you for your support of the $250,000 for the Pratt Museum roof. It's much more than a roof. It's a roof, but it covers the historical, that's where the history is of Homer. And we support that for education. The schools use the Pratt Museum. People that visit use the Pratt Museum. But it also houses for seniors that want to just go and remember what Homer used to be like. It is a wonderful meeting place to take seniors there to remember their times in Alaska. So I want to thank you so much for being there today. And this is a very difficult time for everyone, but this is in the budget, so I support those three items today. Are there any questions?
Thank you for your testimony. I don't believe there are any questions, but really appreciate your perspective. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon, all of you. Bye-bye.
You too. Jared Bradshaw, are you on the line? Apparently not, and maybe later we'll come back to you. Next, we move on to Craig Ambrosiani. I think it might be. If you could put yourself on the record, please state your affiliation. And,
sure. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you okay.
Great. My name is Craig Ambrosiani. I'm with Seward Community Health Center, and I want to thank the Finance Committee for giving me an opportunity to address them today. Seward Community Health Center, we're located in Seward, Alaska. We are a federally qualified health center. We're basically a medical clinic, and we serve all the folks from Low Point, Seward, Moose Pass, all the way out to the Y, about mile 42 on the Seward Highway. We don't turn anybody away. We do provide sliding fees for people that can't afford care, and we provide transportation services, enrollment services, along with primary care medicine, behavioral health, transportation assistance. We also provide some limited behavioral health services for our local schools. We see veterans, and we also provide education for medical students. Most recently, we had a physician assistant from UAA here for 6 weeks. Annually, we see a little over 2,000 patients a year for 7,000 visits a year. We have 30 employees and 20 full-time equivalents. The request we have in to be considered for capital is CAPSIS TPS number 68499. We are raising funds to build a new facility. The facility is about 18,000 square feet. The total bill on it is $20 million. We are asking the state to contribute $10 million towards this project. We've already received $5 million from the federal government in support of this project, and we are continuing to request more funding from the feds. We currently operate out of 6 exam rooms with 3 full-time providers. Typically, you need 3 exam rooms per provider to operate efficiently. Our support for our new facility has been provided verbally, at least, or in writing by the City of Seward, the Kenai Peninsula Borough, the Alaska Department of Health. We are very constrained with space, where we're actually having to turn away programs that we can't do as far as education, diabetes education, things like that. don't have the space to do it. Seward is growing. We know the Coast Guard is bringing in a larger cutter. The Alaska Railroad is expanding their footprint here, which will bring in more business. Infrastructure is growing. Housing is growing. We need healthcare to be able to match the growth of the community, or else behind. Is that my 2 minutes?
Yes, your 3 minutes have expired. If you could wrap up, please.
Sure.
The thing we want to do differently is that healthcare is broken. We want to add the components of preventive healthcare and education to a community healthcare center in Stewart. Any questions?
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Do not see any questions around the table here. For the committee's edification, we've got 11 more names on the list, so that's an approximate list. I couldn't imagine there'd be others maybe late arriving, but the deadline has come and gone at 2:30. So next we go to Anchorage, Caroline Storm. Caroline, if you could put your name on the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, thank you so much for taking this testimony. For the record, my name is Caroline Storm. I'm the executive director of the Coalition for Education Equity. I want to echo the comments of Mr. Custer and Mr. Andreasen, also of Mr. Villarma, I think I said that wrong, but especially of Superintendent Kimberly Hankins. I am calling to request a significant increase to the funding for major maintenance projects. The current funding included on budget is only funding numbers 1 through 15 out of 95 projects on the list. The dollar amount supports less than one-fifth of the major maintenance funding required to cover the entire list. As you heard from Superintendent Hankins, there are projects in her school district that have been on the list for 10 or more years. Project number 23 on the list in Cuspic School District has been on the list for 15 years. Said project is a school in Fleetmute. This school should actually be condemned. It is a health and safety risk for students and teachers to be in the building. There is one room that they use that they have to wear hard hats to be in the room because the ceiling is collapsing. But there is nowhere else for school to be held in Fleetmute. The state is literally throwing money away by continuing to short fund the major maintenance list. Every year, projects cost more and more, and every year the degree of the problem gets worse and worse. After 15 years on the list, what started as a roof replacement project in Fleetmute has now basically turned into a building replacement project because of the level of damage sustained over 15 years. The reason that this project in particular is not number one on the list is that Cuspic School District could not afford to pay for a new condition survey, which is required by deed in order to resubmit the project. In light of this condition, I took it upon myself to apply for congressional designated funding through Senator Murkowski's office to try and get some funds to fix the school. I am literally begging this committee to find some more funding to cover the projects on the major maintenance list before we have more buildings that are condemned and we are literally failing to I'm sorry, we're literally failing our kids by asking them to go to school in buildings that could collapse. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Any comments or questions from the committee? I do not see any. Appreciate you calling in, Caroline. Next, staying in Anchorage, we go to Kirk Rose. If you could put your name and your affiliation on the record, please. Appreciate it.
Thank you. This is Kirk Rose, CEO with Anchorage Community Land Trust. I'm grateful to be giving testimony today on an item that is included in a capital budget for our project, which is a commercial kitchen incubator. And I am the CEO of Anchorage Community Land Trust, a nonprofit organization working to build generational opportunity and disrupt the impacts of poverty with dedicated work in the Mountain View, Fairview, Spinard, and Muldoon neighborhoods of Anchorage. Our project, a commercial kitchen incubator, empowers entrepreneurs and builds food resilience in the South Central region. It's a unique space and model with four accessible kitchen spaces that will be available for rent 24/7. Our organization works with hundreds of small business owners, and they all have the same issue, which is that they cannot access permitted kitchen space, so they can't grow their food business or venture to any amount of scale. They're working out of their home kitchens or trying to find situations where they can sneak in at 4 a.m. to try to make a catering gig possible or to, you know, bake something for sale at an event the next day. AFLT can operate this facility and support the hundreds of small businesses that come through with training and technical assistance and really bring out food and economic vibrance in the region. It will serve bakers, caterers, chefs, pop-up businesses, cold storage, dry storage, special processing equipment, and a full suite of kitchen space, as well as retail space. As you think about this work, you know, there's a lot of discussion on soil to cabbage food resilience within the capital, and this is really about that value add component, how we take cabbage to kimchi and all of the food entrepreneurs who can bring so much to the to our food economy. This facility solves a huge need within our region and has opportunities to replicate across the state. Alaska, in fact, is only one of 10 states without such a facility. We're pretty far along in our fundraising to date, and we will match your investment of $500,000, 12 to 1. We already have close to $4 million in hand of our $6 million project, and your support really helps us take it to the finish line here. So in conclusion, we appreciate your support of this regional economic development infrastructure in the South Central region, and we can't wait for you to try some of the great food that comes out of this facility. Thank you for listening to my testimony and for the work you do for the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Rose, for your testimony. I'm not seeing any questions around the table. We move to Craig. Superintendent Reitan, are you on the phone?
Yes, good afternoon. This is Chris Reitan. I'm the superintendent with Craig City School District, and I'm calling in to testify on Senate Bill 187, and in particular, the major maintenance grant list through the Department of Education Early Development. I am pleased to see that the Senate did fund major maintenance down to the first 15 projects to the tune of $36 million. This is a substantial statement in regards to the importance of having sound infrastructure to serve our students across the state and have a safe learning environment. However, there is more need out there. Currently, there's over $300 million of deferred maintenance in school systems. The average age of our school buildings across the state is over 40 years old, and many of the systems in these aging buildings are beyond their lifespan. I encourage the House Finance Committee to look at ways that we could fund more projects. The dollars spent today are actually dollars saved in the future when it comes to these major maintenance grant projects. I want to thank all of you for your time serving the legislature and for considering these requests.
Thank you for your testimony. Not seeing any questions at the table. We move to here in Juneau, not in the committee room, but on the line. Lisa Paraday, can you please put your name on the list, please, and begin your testimony?
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you well.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the House Finance Committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Lisa Paraday. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and I first want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 187, House Bill 269, the state capital budget. ACSA's joint position statements, which I think, as you know, are the collective priorities of our members, including all superintendents, elementary and secondary principals, school business officials, and education leaders across Alaska, they have identified school major maintenance as an issue impacting student safety. It's gotten to that point. ACSA supports reliable, adequate, and equitable investments and funding through the Department of Education Early Development school construction process for capital projects and major maintenance to existing school district facilities in order to provide students and staff a safe and healthy environment. There are 452 public school facilities in Alaska, and 55% of them are over 40 years old, as you heard Superintendent Reitan testify. 71 buildings are over 60 years old. Our school districts are challenged with growing maintenance needs and costs that are just getting worse every year. They have such limited state funding. Currently, the deed major maintenance list, as you have heard repeatedly now, has a backlog of over $300 million, and there are 97 projects on the list. The current capital budget includes funding for 15 projects on the deed major maintenance grant list, and our districts are grateful for that funding. However, the funding doesn't begin to make a dent in the need for the school maintenance across the state. Alaska students are attending school in partially condemned buildings, as you heard, in schools with black mold and leaky roofs. Without additional funding from the state, the deferred major maintenance issues will only become more expensive the longer we put off the projects. We strongly encourage the legislature to consider a substantial and reliable investment in school major maintenance to provide all of Alaska students a safe and healthy environment to learn. We have a list of the back black hole of major maintenance projects across school districts that we will provide to the committee. And we are asking you to fund the major maintenance list above what has been budgeted to more align with the extreme need we are seeing in school districts across the state. You are recommending funding for 15 projects, which is 12%. I ask you, don't our students deserve a safe facility? Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for everything you're doing, and really appreciate your consideration today.
Thank you, Ms. Paraday. Not seeing any comments or questions around the table, we move back to Anchorage to hear from Eric Gurley. If you could put your name on the record and please list your affiliation, please.
Thank you, co-chairs and the House Finance Committee. My name is Eric Gurley. I'm the Executive Director of Access Alaska, Inc., one of four centers for independent living. I am located out of Anchorage, Alaska. No Access supports communities as far north as the North Slope, Dillingham, the interior, and on the Kenai Peninsula, in Soldotna. I am calling today to urge the House Finance Committee to add $1 million to the capital budget to ensure that small communities and nonprofits can provide a non-federal match for the federal transit projects. This funding, directed to the State Department of Transportation, would allow Alaskans, particularly those in small communities and nonprofits who serve seniors and people with disabilities, to realize the maximum value of federal infrastructure funds fully. Access's mission is to encourage and promote the total integration of people who experience a disability and senior Alaskans to live independently in the community of their choice. Alaska's fast-growing population of seniors does not correspond with the lack of transportation options in some of our, especially remote and rural communities, and some of our larger communities that you would expect at this point to have some sort of mass transit opportunity. Seniors are also living in isolation and becoming more and more homebound. An example of what this $1 million could do is help by providing vans that would allow others to help our seniors get to their medical appointments and have an opportunity to have other opportunities that help their health and well-being. So in closing, I just wanted to urge that you provide these funds. I think there's a little challenge in that people may believe these have been completed, but the set aside has not occurred that allows for the clean federal match. So please accept my urging and move this forward. Really appreciate the hard task the legislature has had this current session and needs your help in helping our vulnerable population. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gurley. I do not see any questions. Let me retract that statement. Representative Josephson.
Well, I just wanted to, Mr. Chairman, thank Mr. Gurley for his hard work. He comes to my office every session, and I enjoy seeing him, and I appreciate his efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Very good. Then, seeing no more questions, we move north to Kotzebue. Tom Atkinson, if you could put your name on the record and your affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, House Finance Committee. My name for the record is Tom Atkinson. I'm the General Manager, CEO for the Kotzebue Electric Association. And I am calling today in reference to the capital budget and hopes that the committee will consider funding more on the Renewable Energy Fund. Our project for a community scale energy storage and inertia, which is just a long way of saying a 4-megawatt battery to replace our current megawatt battery to allow us to go more diesels off, gain independence from diesel, move forward with renewables, scored third in 24 projects. We were slated to get part of the original $5 million to fund our project for the battery. Unfortunately, $1 million was stripped from that. It's now down to $4 million, and we've been told that we will not be receiving any funding. My request would be that the committee consider upfunding the Renewable Energy Fund, not only for us, but for all of the 24 projects worth $32 million total. That will help Alaska take a huge step forward in renewable energy. And we hope that you will give consideration to that. KEA was one of the first in Alaska to go ahead and move forward with renewable energy projects starting back in the late 90s. We have significant investments in wind and solar, and we would like to also increase our battery size. And we currently have a 30% renewable energy portfolio. With a few additions like this battery and other renewable energy projects, we are on the cusp of achieving 50% renewable energy. We'd like to see the same story replicated throughout Alaska, and upfunding of the Renewable Energy Fund to not only cover our project, but many of the worthy projects on this list would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Atkinson. Not seeing any comments or questions here at the table. We move back south to Saldatna, Kurt Buchholz with the Blood Bank of Alaska. Can you please put your name on the record with your affiliation, please?
Hi, this is Kurt Buchholz, and I am a member of the Blood Bank of Alaska. I'm on the board.
Did we lose
you? Do you want me to give my testimony?
Yes. Could you please start? We heard you for a second there, and then you went offline.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
So I've been on the Blood Bank of Alaska board for over 10 years, been actively involved. I'm a strong believer in providing blood from Alaskans for Alaskans. And as you know, we built a new facility, which is providing all the blood that we are needing in the state. Our biggest weakness is that we cannot do the testing in Alaska. There are about 13 tests that we do to ensure the safety of blood for the donors, and we would like to make those available in the state. The disadvantage we have, of course, is that we send it out of state. We can be delayed by weather and aircraft communications, and also conditions that happen in the cities where the testing is being done. So this would greatly improve our ability to provide blood in a rapid fashion. I've been working for several years with many of the remote hospitals, including Bethel, YK Health Corporation, and Nome, NSHC Corporation, and Dillingham, the BBAHC Corporation. I'm their medical director, and it's my responsibility to ensure that we have adequate and safe blood. And the Blood Bank of Alaska has done a great job in providing those services to those facilities. And we are saving lives because we have blood available, and it is with sincere request that I ask the committee to consider the funding of this project. I greatly appreciate all the work that you do, and I thank you for the opportunity to give the testimony.
Thank you for your testimony. We do have a question at the table. Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Chair Edgman. Mr. Buckle, we've heard several people from the blood bank talk about this project, reference $2 million. I do see that it's in the capital budget as we received it from the Senate at 1.5, and I am wondering if $2 million is the total cost of the project, or do you already have other monies, or if it's not a total of $2 million, can the project still go forward in other sources?
Right now, what we the total project was $4 million. We got $2 million to get the instrumentation and the training of staff. The additional $2 million that's requested be for the reagents and more testing and training of the staff. So I think the 1.5 would certainly put us to the point where we could make things very close to completion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving next to back down further south to Wrangell, Peter Hauser. Can you please put your name on the record and begin your testimony?
Hi there. My name is Peter Heusler. I'm in Wrangell at the moment, but live in Chugiak. I'm affiliated with the Friends of Midtown Park, the Anchorage Skates Group, and the Alaska Speed Skating Club. And I'm here today to advocate for the Alaska Community Foundation request for funding for the Midtown Park Chalet in Cuddy Family Midtown Park in Anchorage, and it's TPF number 68020. Thanks to the co-chairs and members of the House Finance Committee today and your consideration of testimony. It's a tough job and appreciate it. I'm advocating for this funding. And that I've been involved with speed skating for the last 30 years or so in Alaska, coaching kids for a long time through 8 different Arctic Winter Games episodes. I've seen the transformative power of a sport in the lives of young people, and this park and the skating oval in it would make a huge impact on the lives of kids and people more broadly in Anchorage and Alaska. I've also been involved with advocating for the development of this park, and it's really opened my eyes to how parks are a jewel of the community, and active parks are busy parks, are safe parks, and they provide so many wonderful ways for Alaskans to get outdoors and have a safe place to do outdoor activities. Through this project, we think it would cost about $2.5 million total to construct this, we're calling it a chalet, but basically it's the center for the park. We've already secured about $600,000 in municipality of Anchorage bonds. We've had about $60,000 in private donations, including from 16 Olympians, including the most notable in Alaska. And been part of this group that's been working on this for on the order of 30 years. So we would just really appreciate support of any amount of funds that can go towards this building of this chalet, and this will help move the project forward and will help this group to secure and leverage the final funds needed from larger pocket private donors to complete the project. Thank you for your consideration.
Very much appreciate your testimony. Looks like we do have a comment or perhaps a question here at the committee table. That's not the other.
Yeah, thank you so much, Co-Chair Edgman. I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate that you've been working on this for over 30 years. I haven't heard from many in testimony today about such resilience and steadfastness in a project. I appreciate it. I think I've been out there with you to that site a couple times, so I know you've been working it on so many different angles, and getting the municipal buy-in along with the community is really meaningful. So I just wanted to express appreciation. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony again. Next, we go to, it says, author Guess in Anchorage.
Yes. Yes, I'm Dr. Art Goyce, GEUSS in Anchorage. I'm a resident here since 60 years, and I was both the borough and the city parks chairman for much of an 18-year stretch. And Helen Nienhauser and I started the Central Park of Anchorage, or Midtown Park, back about 1980. And I very, very much appreciate any funding at all that you folks could help us out with. We're up to about two thirds of a million dollars towards our approximate $2.5 million that we feel will complete the project. We can't imagine our Central Park of Anchorage being able to really function and develop and serve the people without a chalet, such as Hilltop, Russian Jack, and Kincaid. This money will help leverage our efforts to try and finish getting the rest of this money. It would be immensely helpful. And it isn't just a skating. This park is used year-round by everybody. You'd be amazed when you see the number of people that are out with baby buggies and dogs and everything else in the middle of the summer. And it's just a park for the people. It forms the very core of the whole community and really would serve as a central park, just like New York City. It's just a tremendous effort we've had. You can't imagine in my 40 years of working on this project how many people have come and gone and helped us through different stages. And now we're up to where we're getting close to the finish line, and we've had a tremendous volunteer effort from donors. We've had support with the voters for the park bond issues on multiple occasions, and we're at a point now to where we can really get this thing done if we have just a little more money and a demonstration from the state that you folks also support trying to make Anchorage a better place to live, work, and play. Thank you so much for your consideration and an opportunity to testify. I greatly appreciate it, and in particular our House member there that's been so interested and supportive. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Not seeing any questions, comments around the committee table. So this takes us to what appears to be our last testifier of the day, Tim Potter in Anchorage. If you could put your name on the record with your affiliation and please begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is Tim Potter. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very clearly.
Yes. Everybody, Art and Peter, appreciate their testimony, and I appreciate the committee listening to all the needs across the state. I'm here to speak just a little bit about the skating oval and the warming chalet that would be full service to the park year-round. It's a very important feature that was identified in the original master planning of the Cuddy Family Midtown Park. And it is one of the key items that will bolster the ability and functionality of the park throughout the year. But during the winter, since I'm representing Anchorage Skates, one of the volunteer groups have been working on it for decades, is that if you can imagine, and my office, Dow Engineers, was directly adjacent to this park for almost the entire 40 years that I worked there, and I could see and observe and go out and talk to people year-round that were using the park. But one of the key factors when you're trying to have a functional park that is safe, stable, And people want to be drawn to it and are drawn to it for use for all kinds of different things. There definitely needs to be the ability that once you get there, if you're a mom or dad or family and you've got three kids, and during the winter they're all dressed up in their winter gear, you wrestle to get their skates on, probably staying in the car while you're doing that where it's warm. Little Johnny, who was instructed to use the restroom at home before they loaded up, didn't. And all of a sudden, Johnny has to go. And he goes to his mom and dad, and they look around, and there's no feasible facility to utilize. And rather than trying to come up with something, they head back to the car, they load up, and they go home without really using the park facilities as they had planned. During the summer is kind of a no-brainer as far as residents and employee utilization of the park facilities throughout the day and the evening. And the winter was very important. And as a city planner doing work in Anchorage for over 40 years, it was important to get a key winter use to provide activity within the park to, again, as Peter indicated, and so did Art Joyce, that an active park is a safe park. The more people that you have there utilizing the facilities, the safer it is for everyone. When it's dark during the winter, it is healthy and actively used by people walking and skating. And the Speed Skating Club using it three days a week for a couple of hours, it is a fairly important item. And we've been working on the funding for the chalet for the last 6 or 7 years very seriously and focused. The pandemic
kind of took the motivation away
for a bit, and we lost a little momentum. We're working on it hard again. And while we
appreciate, as Peter said, anything,
any amount of money goes a long ways. Our grant request had been for $990,000. $330,000 recommendation came out of...
Mr. Potter, thank you very much for your testimony. Yep. I don't know if you can hear me, but we've allowed you to go past the three-minute allotment.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, really appreciate you calling in with your comments. Not seeing any hands raised around the committee table here. I want to double-check with our... I'll have a moderator that we have gone through the list in its entirety. And seeing no one else in the room, sign up by deadline having come and gone at 2:30. This concludes the public hearing portion of the capital budget, both the House and the Senate version. And it takes us to the end of our regular scheduled meeting today. The next scheduled House Finance Committee will be tomorrow, Friday at April 19th at 1:30, where we will hear House Bill 74, Geothermal Resources, and House Bill 388, Cook Inlet Reserve Based Lending. Not seeing any further business to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 3:09 p.m.